I don't know what you're
Rabbity
talking about.
bunny. Wait, bunny rabbit. Runny bunny. No.
What?
Are Runny you Babbit. About? There we go. Runny Babbit. Shel Silverstein.
I got nothing.
Oh my gosh. Runny Babbit? You don't know Runny Babbit?
No.
It's a Shel. You know Shel Silverstein?
Yeah.
Like where the sidewalk ends?
Yeah, I know Shel Silverstein.
Runny Babbit. Oh my gosh. We'll have to look it up later. They're like really great little poem. Like,
you know, I know who Shel Silverstein is.
Runny Babbit.
Is Running Babbitt a name of a book or one poem?
Yeah.
You know that those books
it's a whole book.
Like, okay, so he had like 100 books and each book had like 5,000 poems.
Running Babbitt's a very popular one.
Where the Sidewalk Ends is the best one.
Well, hello.
Welcome to episode 2. Assault the Earth podcast. This one is coming out sometime after the first one, but it's being recorded directly after the first one. So, if you have any feedback for the first one, we didn't read it. That doesn't mean that we don't care. It just means that we haven't read it yet, because we haven't uploaded anything yet.
True story.
True facts.
So what are we talking about today, Matt?
Today we are talking about Lent. And our...
Whoa, future Tori here. So when Matt and I originally recorded these episodes, it was during Lent, and now it is May 16th, and Lent has been over for quite some time. So please consider this just a reflection on your Lent, and let us know how it went regardless. Cool. Okay, back to past Matt and past Tori.
Yeah, leave your... how your Lent went in the comments.
Reviews. Yeah, let us know.
Let us know how Lent went for you. So, with that all out of the way, Tori, what are your plans for Lent this year?
Oh,
what have you been doing for Lent this year?
So we are heading into the third week of Lent this weekend, right?
Today is the 18th day of Lent.
So it's the 18th day of Lent. I'm not keeping as much track as Matt is. My Lent this year, my Lenten plans were more simple this year. Last year, I tried to do, like, hardcore stuff, and I failed miserably, and I'm like, I don't think Jesus is calling me to do that. So this year, I'm fasting one day a week, and so I'll have, like, two very small snacks and then one large meal at the end of the day. And then the time that I'm not eating, I spend either praying more intentionally, or at least that's my goal. But mm-hmm. I'm also at work when I'm doing this, so, like, it doesn't always happen.
Right. I got that.
And then I'm also trying to tithe more to my parishes. So both of the parishes, the one I work at and the one I worship at. So at the end of Lent, I will be giving a one lump sum donation, like, which is larger than what I normally tithe to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is based on the extra purchases I made during Lent that I didn't need to make. We'll be going there instead.
I see.
And then I'm just trying a couple new forms of prayer this year. I usually just pray, like, very conversationally to mm-hmm. God. And as great as that is, I also like slack off on it all the time. And I'm like, well, I don't have to do it right now because it's not a big deal. I can do it later. So I'm trying to do very intentional prayers.
I've
joined a prayer challenge that I'm doing with a bunch of internet people. It's called the Oods of Fruits. It's going to last the whole year of 2019. So like each month we focus on
Oods
a fruit
from like oodles of noodles.
No, from actually the oodles of doodles, which is an Instagram account that I follow.
Oh.
And so the Instagrammer is Allie Hoffman. So shout out Allie Hoffman. She's a youth minister and a Catholic speaker. She lives in Texas. She's a former netter. And she makes really like just beautiful designs of like
gotcha.
Hand lettering and a bunch of other things. She has a cool Etsy shop. And her and a couple of other people started this Oods of Fruits challenge. So like each month we're focusing on a different fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I've been praying with that prayer this month. And I've been learning more about the different fruits of the Holy Spirit and whatnot. And
gotcha.
So far it's going.
It's going. This episode of Salt the Earth brought to you by something Hoffman.
Allie Hoffman.
Allie Hoffman's Instagram account.
Yeah.
No,
the
not.
Oodles of Doodles.
We're not sponsored.
No, we're not sponsored.
Capitalism is bad. Ooh. I need to like be more sarcastic when I say sarcastic things.
Yes, you do.
Even though, like, it's only a little bit sarcastic.
Because, like, we can, like, we can't put an asterisk.
And we could, like, do an episode on capitalism.
That's fine. I'd be fine with that.
We have Deacon Mike on.
Oh, my gosh. Deacon Mike would be Deacon so Mike's good. Deacon
Mike's got a really good talk about capitalism and socialism and communism.
I think we should just shoot him a text and be like, do you want to be on our podcast that we're starting right now? That'd be great. All right. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, upcoming episode, stay tuned for Deacon Mike.
Hopefully.
The one and only.
Deacon Mike.
He'll certainly do it. He loves me.
How modest.
Well, I don't know why he loves me. I don't think that I'm deserving of his love. Let's put it that way. That's not fair. It's not a cocky thing or anything like that. But he and I just, we click on a similar level. So I always love the conversations with him.
So that's fair. Okay. Well, then, Matt, what are you doing for your Lent?
For my Lent, I am fasting.
And how are you fasting? How long are you fasting? What are you doing? Fasting
for 40 days, oh, like my goodness. Jesus. She says, oh my goodness, as if we haven't talked about this 100 times.
Like, it's for the people.
Yeah, the people.
That was terrifying.
So, command strips don't work. Is the reason for that loud noise.
That we'll probably edit out.
If you can dream it, you can do it. Cool. Yep, chipped up the molding. Sick. Awesome.
Oh, it did. That's okay.
Kill me.
You're okay. No, don't edit that out too.
Yeah, we'll edit it all out.
So you're fasting for 40 days. So I'm fasting for 40 days.
I am not consuming any solid foods.
Is that healthy?
I am not consuming any calories. It is healthy-ish, is the best way to put it. So for the last several years, I have been doing various fasts for Lent. Starting back like literally 5 or 6 years ago, it was sometime before Lent, I was talking to Carly, and I asked her what she thought about me fasting for 40 days. She said, that sounds insane. And I said, yes, it does. And then I did more reading on it, and I learned that it's something you don't just start, something that you build up to over time. So for the last several years, I've been fasting in various forms, whether that's like a one-day fast every now and again, or whether that was like intermittent fasting. And then last year, I fasted for 6 days at the end of Lent. So I fasted from Good Friday to, no, not Good Friday to Easter.
It had to be Sunday. Before Good Friday.
Good Wednesday to Easter Sunday? Something like that. One of the good days.
Maundy.
One of the good days.
Maundy Wednesday.
Maundy Wednesday?
That's what it's called.
I'm pretty sure it's just Good Wednesday.
It's not Good Wednesday. Sure? I'm sure. It's Maundy.
What's Maundy?
It's a... I don't remember what Maundy means.
Cool. It means Good Wednesday, I'm sure.
But it doesn't. It's like it's something else. Because, I mean, the next day is not good. You know? Oh, no, it's Maundy Thursday. I was wrong.
So what's Wednesday? I'm saying
Holy Wednesday.
Holy Wednesday. Okay, so maybe it was Holy Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, that's 5 days. It was something like that. And anyway, this year I decided that this was the year that I was going to do it, the 40-day fast. The reason I chose this year was because I have been losing weight, and you need to have a certain amount of body fat on you in order to fast effectively for this long without doing damage to your body, right? Like if I had very low muscle, or if I had very low body fat percentage, it would be bad to fast for this long because my body would start consuming proteins instead of fats, and then I would lose muscle mass, which you don't want. And you could also damage your organs and skin even.
So you've put a lot of like scientific research into this.
Yes, I read a lot of books. Shout out to Dr. Jason Fung. This wow. episode of Salt the Earth podcast brought to you by Dr. Jason Fung. No.
Except not really.
Except not at all. Because he doesn't... I don't think he's Christian. I don't know. Jason Fung is a cool dude though. Read his books if you are curious about fasting. He is like the doctor of fasting.
Interesting. Did not know there was a doctor of fasting.
He's been doing fasting research for like 30 years. A lot of the published peer-reviewed studies on long-term fasting come from Dr. Jason Fung. He has a podcast, I think, and he has a YouTube channel. He gives lectures. And he kind of flips the traditional idea of like dieting on its head. He does it, it's mostly for health for him, right? So what he does is like if he has a patient prescribed or diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, he will prescribe fasting as a cure. And there is a statistically significant peer-reviewed correlation between extended fasts and the cure of type 2 diabetes.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yeah.
Learning something new here right. every day, folks.
So, But there's a lot of medical benefits to fasting. And so I read a lot of his books. I did a lot of research online. I looked at both sides of the argument. What's good about fasting? What's bad about fasting? And the more that I read, the more that I realized that the people who are pro-fasting tend to be reputable with peer-reviewed research, and the people who are anti-fasting tend to have a lot of very emotional arguments about it, or it comes from like a personal issue, like so maybe someone is a former anorexic, and so they're very against fasting, which I can totally respect and understand. Yeah. That's a fine position to have. Fasting is definitely not for everyone.
Right.
But I found fasting to be a very powerful form of prayer in my life. So I said I was going to fast for 40 days. All that I'm consuming are water and tea. I was going to consume coffee, but I haven't had any coffee yet, and it's day 18, so I figured I might as well finish it out. So, yeah, water and tea, unsweetened tea, just basically black tea and black lemon tea. Yeah, it's been great. I have been surprised by how well I've been taking it for the most part.
Okay, so how is this helping you spiritually then?
So the primary goal was spiritual. The weight loss is definitely a benefit, but the primary goal is always spiritual. It's really two things for me. There's something about like denial of self and denial of positives that strengthens my prayer, my conversation with God. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but like when I talk to God in a state of denial, in a state of like, I can do this thing, but I've chosen against it.
Okay.
In spite of even my own better judgment, or in spite of this thing will make me happy, or this thing will make me inspired, it kind of brings me down a peg. So okay. I'm talking up to God, which much like you were saying, I have a very conversational relationship when I pray.
Sure.
So it's like a one-on-one talking to a friend. And I don't necessarily like that about my prayer life. I think I would prefer it to be where, like, I am looking up, way up.
Right.
And so fasting brings me down several notches because I am doing something that is, I don't know, not hurting me necessarily, but, like, I'm doing something that's just lowering me.
But, right. I mean, so let's talk about that for a second, because you said you don't like having that conversational type of prayer life or relationship with God. And I know I experienced the same thing where it's not that I don't like it. I think it's a very adolescent form of prayer. And I think that's where a lot of us were brought up to see God as a friend. And God is a friend. Like, he can be a friend. But he's also, like,
God.
Yeah. Of everything.
Everything, yeah.
And I think learning how to move from that adolescent step to the, how do I see God as the God of my life in prayer is a very hard step to take. So the fact that you see fasting as a form for you to do that is amazing. Fasting for me is like this super difficult thing where like I'm going one day having one large meal and two small snacks, and that's still super hard for me because I get hangry. And the last thing I want to do when I'm hangry is talk to God. I don't want to talk to God when I'm hungry.
Yeah. There's definitely been like a stack up of issues with this too, because like this has been probably my most stressful week at work in the last year or most stressful month at work in the last year, just because there's so much stacking up. So I'm working like 12-hour days. I'm coming home. I'm tired. I'm frustrated from work. I never get enough sleep because I don't take care of my body properly. And, on top of that, I'm not eating and I do get hangry. Now there is some science behind why fasting might be better, like completely fasting from calories might be better than the small meals and large meals thing.
Really?
Yeah, because when you are eating small meals and large meals, you're probably consuming some carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
If you're consuming above like 50 grams of carbohydrates a day, it means that your body is going to be operating using carbs as a primary fuel source.
Oh.
So if you completely fast after, you know, the first half of the day, assuming that you slept, you'll be, you know, 12 to 15 hours into a fast around lunchtime.
Right.
And so that's 12 to 15 hours that you haven't had any carbohydrates. And after, you know, 15 hours to 24 hours, your body starts to switch over from using carbs as a primary fuel source to using fats as a primary fuel source.
Interesting.
And once your body switches over to fats, hunger pangs go way down.
Okay.
This is what a lot of people call like the keto diet, right? So
sure.
You don't need any carbs. then you're in ketostasis, and it's supposed to help with hunger, and it's supposed to help with burning fat, because you're burning body fat instead of burning carbs as energy.
Sure. So if someone chooses to fast, like how I'm choosing to fast, yeah, should they not have carbs?
It would certainly help.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a military study back in the 40s or the 50s. After the end of World War II, they were... Have I told you this story?
I have not heard this story.
So, after the end of World War II, when they were freeing the Jews, not after the end, but like when America was making significant progress and Russia was making significant progress, or the USSR, into Germany, and they were freeing people from the concentration camps. And the problem that was happening was a lot of Jews would go and indulge on a ton of food because, of course, they were starving to death. But then they would die.
Oh.
Because of the food consumption. They ate so much food that shocked their body. I think it was their glycol levels that went way up, and then their body couldn't handle it, and they died.
Oh my god, I did not know this.
It was something that was called refeed syndrome, is what they named it at the time. And so knowing that refeed syndrome exists, and in the heat of the Cold War, the American government was doing tests to see how little food Americans could live on, right? So they were saying, like, we're going to restrict people to 700 calories a day. And they put soldiers in these basically concrete boxes with like 40 of their friends or 40 of their, you know, colleagues, their other soldiers. And they would give them, you know, 700 calories of bread and pasta, right? Just the cheapest, easiest to store food that they could.
Sure.
And they said they could drink coffee and they could chew gum and they could eat their 700 calories. And the problem they were having was that soldiers were so hungry after eating, like they were just hungry all the time to the point where they were going through 5 packs of gum a day.
Oh.
And to the point where they were drinking gallons of coffee because they were just hungry and they were sneaking into the mess halls at night to steal more pasta and bread.
Oh my goodness.
Just to get sustenance. And then they were doing another study where they were giving them primarily proteins and fats. So they were giving them cheese and meat basically, which is harder to store. But they were not hungry.
Oh, okay.
Like, they felt no hunger at all.
And this is where we started to see that carbs is what makes us hungry.
Yeah, so that's where we see that correlation between carbohydrates as a primary fuel source and hunger. Because we just get used to, like, there's food coming in 4 hours.
Right.
And so carbs are designed in our body to be short-term energy anyway.
Sure. Like,
the idea was that if I was a caveman, I would eat my carbs, and then I'd be able to run for a while and hunt and get the protein, and that protein would last me longer.
Sure.
We love the taste of carbs because carbs are amazing.
Yes, delicious.
And so we have completely bastardized the entire system for our own flavor sensors.
So good.
Because carbs are amazing. All that they I want are. In my life right now is garlic bread. Like, that's like number
one. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what I would
garlic
be craving.
Garlic bread, pizza, and Chipotle.
I would be craving...
And grilled cheese sandwiches.
Chocolate chip cookies.
So yeah, if you are fasting, eating a ketogenic diet, if you're doing like a smaller meal fast, would be a...
That's good
something
to know.
Something to try.
I will try that this week.
To cut down on hunger. It might help.
Yeah. This past week I fasted on Thursday, but it was also one of the days that I was feeling super sick, like out of the blue. So I didn't want to eat anyway. So it was kind of cheating. So that's I did fine. Have my one meal, which was a sandwich that I didn't really finish. But that was full of carbs because it was a Jimmy John's sandwich.
Oh.
But it was delicious.
You didn't own which. When I worked at Jimmy
John's,
I
wanted
I had unwiches
the bread
all the time.
Because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to eat anything but the bread, so I started with the bread.
Gotcha.
So, that was kind of cheating, fasting, because I was already sick and not feeling well, but I did it that day.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. If you haven't noticed, friends, Matt has lots of knowledge about lots of different things.
I don't know about lots of knowledge. I have specific
knowledge
about specific things.
No, I would say you have... So, you have a wide knowledge... Where I have a deep knowledge. So, like, you have a knowledge on lots of different things. Whether it it may not go deep, though. Whereas I have a deeper knowledge on, like, one thing.
That's fair.
Okay.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Like, Matt has deep knowledge on lots of other things, too. But, like, I have a deep knowledge on, like, theology and Catholic stuff. And then books.
I have a shallow knowledge on Catholic stuff and theology and books. I think I have, like, a medium knowledge base on specifically Catholic teaching.
Like, not a kiddie pool, but, like, a wading pool.
Like, one of those Walmart pools that you blow up, but it's, like, adult size. That's where I'm at right now. There's nothing Olympic happening
here. No Olympic,
okay.
I definitely don't have an Olympic pool either. I would be at, like, a... Like an outdoor in-ground pool, maybe.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I have the resources to find the information more readily than Matt may.
That's fair.
Because I'm in school. at a seminary where I learn theology on a daily basis.
Maybe I'll go there one day.
You should.
I'm still deciding between trying to be a deacon and trying to be a politician. And I've learned that you can't be both, which I think is dumb.
You can't be both?
So,
oh, for whole church and state thing.
Well, no, not that.
Really?
It's actually a Catholic thing. My understanding is that in order for a deacon or a priest or a nun to be in, anyone who's like in the religious like hierarchy,
sure,
to be a politician, they need to get approval from the bishop. But every deacon I've ever talked to who said like they'd go through this section and be like, you need to get approval from the bishop if you want to be a politician. Don't try. The bishop will say no immediately. Yeah. And like that makes sense to me.
Oh yeah.
So maybe I'll do politics and then be a deacon.
Interesting. Well, you have time for both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? I could get hit by a car tomorrow.
But you have time. Like, you can't. Okay. All right. Well, that just took a drastic turn.
Memento mori.
Memento mori. That would be a great topic for another day.
Yeah.
Although it does have a lot to do with Lent. I think Lent is a really good time for you to think of your death more, which is what memento mori means. Remember your death. Matt is a big memento mori fan. Why are you a big memento mori fan?
I'm a big memento mori fan, probably for the same reason that I like self-denial, which is because it lowers us to a humbler stature as compared to God, because we are mere mortals.
And thank God for that.
The ultimate immortal.
True. See, now, when I think of memento mori and remembering my death, I don't necessarily feel lower than God. I feel closer to Him. Because when you're remembering your death, the goal is heaven. Right. Like, the goal is to be with Him. And so when I do think of that, I'm not thinking of how low I am compared to Him. Because I am. I mean, who the heck am I? I'm just
Tori.
Some girl with a microphone right now. Curly, that's all I am. But I think when we remember our death more often, especially during the time of Lent, we have that closer union with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I know Christ is the time, or Lent is the time when we think of Christ in the desert. Like, you're doing exactly that. You're fasting for 40 days in the desert. Luckily, you're not going without water like he did.
You can't. People do it. Not for this long, but people do dry fasts. There's allegedly,
but you're not Jesus, so.
A bunch of stuff. Like, people say that it cures cancer. I don't know about that.
There's
about that, but a lot of people,
people say lots of things.
People say that it works.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad you're drinking water and other things, because that's necessary for survival. And I think what you're doing is awesome. I could never do it. It's not something I'm being called to right now, and I definitely could. Like, right now, if I wanted to do it, I'm going to fast the other 40 days of Lent. Like, that would be awful.
Right.
I would die.
Yeah, it's not easy.
No.
I would say that, like, day 3 and 4 were the worst days for hunger. And then the hunger really settled down. It became, like, a dull ache.
Hmm.
That's another reason why I really like fasting, is because it kind of lets me get into a mindset that many Americans have no idea of. Like, the mindset of, I am hungry and I, like, you know, I don't have food.
Right.
Like, so I can be a little bit more on an understanding level with someone like maybe someone who was in Haiti during the earthquakes and didn't have food for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Or people in Africa who are food scarce all the time.
Right.
And like, when they get food, it's a lucky day. So like, I can at least on some mental level cope with them. Now, obviously, because I have access to food, I'm nowhere near that.
Right.
But I think that I can empathize a little bit closer than most people.
No, I think you're right. I think there's definitely a difference between empathy and sympathy. So whereas, like, I'm hungry right now. Like,
right.
I'm going to go home. Like, when we're done with this, I'm going out to dinner with my cousins. Right. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And I sympathize with the people who go without food, but I've never experienced that. I've always had a roof over my head. I've always had a meal available to me. The longest I've gone without food was maybe 16, 18 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that was both by choice and the fact that I was probably on the road somewhere, and it was just middle of nowhere, probably Nebraska. So it was just corn. Lots of corn.
You had access to food. You had all that corn.
Corn that we could just steal.
Don't steal. Stealing is bad.
Stealing is very bad. Please don't. But I think what you're doing is super awesome. So how have you seen benefits in your spiritual life?
So I would say that I pray more frequently, far more frequently than I used to. I was kind of like a once a day, or I don't like being a once a day or twice a day, either, like a morning and night prayers or whatever. But it's just kind of that habit you fall into when you're living day to day life, and you know, you work and you do stuff. And so I was really only praying like once or twice a day, and then church and whatever ministries I was doing. But now I'm like praying at every meal time because I'm hungry.
Right.
And I want to eat. And then I'm also praying a lot like when I have access to food. So on Fridays at work, there's bagels. And like they're so good.
I'm sure they are.
Big and like soft. Oh, so good. So like I smell those bagels all day because everyone toasts them and it just
it
penetrates the entire building. So like that whole day I'm just like, I don't need it. God, save me from myself, save me from my hunger. And then like a recent thing that has never happened before I was fasting was like I have realized that I've passed 3 or 4 different breakfast places on my way to work. And so every day I'm looking at them like, I can't wait to go and get breakfast at all these places before work. That will be the day.
And you probably really won't, though.
Oh, I will.
Oh, will you?
Yeah, so, like, I had this thought. This is, like, the kind of thought that you only come up with when you haven't eaten in 15 days.
That's good to know.
Like, I was like, you know what I could do on Bagel Friday is I could get into one of these breakfast places and get, like, a good meat lover's omelet and then bring that to work and throw that on the bagel.
Oh, my goodness.
And now we're in business. Stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness.
So apologies to all of you who are fasting like me during
Then our normal conversations are not typically around food lately for the sake of Matt's fasting. But I will say I have become very conscious of when I am talking about food around you.
I like to talk about food. I mean, I even cooked a few times so far, like just cooking for Carly during meal prep and stuff. Because I really enjoy cooking. I just, I had to stop myself. Like I was just about to reach down and like eat a piece of salmon.
Oh my gosh.
Because I wanted to make sure it wasn't too rare.
Right.
Carly likes a little more on the well side. And I was like, wait a minute.
This is food. Oh my goodness. That would be so, like if I was doing what you were doing, there was no way I could cook. I wouldn't want to be home while my parents were cooking. I wouldn't want to go out to eat with my friends because I know you're still coming out to eat with us when we go out. I really don't think I could do any of that. So I think that in itself is like the grace of God working through you. Cause
that's the other thing is like another benefit, I suppose, is like that added self-control. Like you have that realization of like, okay, if I can control myself on this level, what else can I, you know, these involuntary things that I do, how can I control myself there, right? So, like, I have a really bad habit of using my phone in the office. And if I could break the habit of eating food to survive, I imagine I could probably break the habit of using my phone in the office. So that's on my list eventually. Probably, maybe, probably not.
So, like, if Lent is supposed to be a time for us to, you know, it's supposed to be a time for us to reconnect with God and find ourselves as, like you said, like, you use it as a time to put yourself back in that lowly position. I use it as a time to just reconnect with God in a new way. It's usually the time I spend trying to find new ways to improve my prayer life and my spiritual life. I have a really hard time in my prayer life, like constantly, because I work in the church and because I'm a youth minister, and I know I've told you this before, because I'm expected to do things, I don't want to do them. So because everyone thinks I pray all the time or because everyone thinks I go to mass all the time, I go to mass, people like them, just saying, using it as an example.
No, I got you.
Or because people think I go to confessional, I do all these things and they just expect me to do them. I will purposely not do them out of spite, some weird form of spite in my brain, or like, I don't have to do these just because people like some ridiculous, but God desires me to do them. So like I should. I keep talking with my hands and I'm hitting our pop filters.
The whole time.
I keep knocking it and I'm shocked that it really hasn't moved that much. This like drastically just went higher up and like I knew you were doing this, but no, I don't mind. So how after Lent are you going to use what you learned to benefit your prayer life?
So if my math is correct, which I don't know if it is, so far it's been correct, based on like the amount that I expected to lose and the percentage of that was muscle versus fat. I will be at a point where it probably won't be healthy for me to continue extended fasts.
For a while, or like probably ever.
Well, I mean, assuming I don't put on a bunch of weight that's like fat-based weight, probably forever. Like, I'll never be able to do another 40-day fast like this without doing damage to my body. But I do intend to involve like shorter fasts just more frequently, like maybe 1 to 2 day fasts. It's something that I didn't used to do. I always do intermittent fasting, mostly because I find eating food to be a waste of valuable time. So it's got My intermittent fasting has nothing to do with my prayer life. It's got everything to do with eating food takes time. Sure. And I see food primarily as a fuel source.
Okay.
As compared to, like, this thing that tastes good. Like, I love the taste of food, but, like, I'm usually eating, like, one really big meal a day and maybe another meal later.
Okay. Unless just I'm, out of time and convenience.
Yeah, just out of time and convenience. Okay. So I eat a big lunch and that's usually it for the day. So I think multi-day fasts, I'm going to involve more in my life. And then I need to really seek out new ways to put myself in that starved state mentally.
Mm.
So I think one of those might be, changing how I use my phone. Like, I'm very addicted to Reddit. I'm very addicted to YouTube. So to the point where, like, it's interfering with my day-to-day life. So maybe trying to find a way to limit my access to those things.
Sure.
Because I don't know if I have the self-control to actually get rid of those things. I think I need to, like, in advance, create systems that will not allow me to use those apps.
Matt is on Reddit all the time.
It's bad.
We'll be, like, hanging out at his house. There'll be, like, 20 of us around. And he'll be talking, having a conversation, not even looking at his phone, but he'll be scrolling through Reddit.
Well, I just find that.
And you won't be, but you really won't even be looking at it.
I'm just trying to get that dopamine, serotonin.
I just don't understand. I'm like, I have my phone on me all the time because, like, people contact me or I'm at work and I'll scroll through it. I have, like, one game I play with, like, I don't even know what it's called, to be honest. And it's just, like, this mindless game I play. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like, if I lost my phone right now, I'd be upset because I would have no way of telling, like, people that I'm on my way somewhere. But I wouldn't, like, I don't need it. I don't do anything on it.
Like, so I went to Cedar Point last year. Cedar Point, for you international listeners, is a theme park in Ohio on a peninsula.
Hoping we have international listeners. Right, yeah.
For all one of you international listeners. They had just had a new ride, I think it's called the Steel Vengeance, and that ride is very good at removing your phone from your pocket. I had brought both my work phone and my daily phone with me, not thinking. And I didn't put them in a locker or anything because I have, like, separation anxiety about my phone. So, like, how could I leave it in the locker for an hour and a half while I waited in line to ride on this ride? I rode on this ride. I had my work phone, Carly's phone, and my personal phone. My personal phone came out of my pocket and it was gone.
Oh,
Carly's phone came out of my pocket and I caught it while the ride was upside down.
Oh my goodness.
And as I got off that ride and realized I didn't have my phone, I was this close to a legitimate anxiety attack. I was breathing fast. My heart rate was way up. My head was spinning. I was like, what am I going to do?
Matt.
How am I going to handle this? It was bad.
I did not know this. I mean, I knew you lost your phone and everything.
I did not like how my body reacted to me not having my phone for 2 days.
I would not like that either.
It was a very real reality check. So, like, after that, I deleted all the games off my phone. I basically deleted everything except for, like, 6 apps, right? And I used a launcher on my phone, so I could only access those 6 apps. YouTube, Reddit, Spotify, phone, maps.
So what you need to get rid of is, like,
Reddit is really the number one, YouTube. Right? YouTube is probably fine for now because I usually listen to it, like, kind of as an audio thing.
Sure.
Like, as a podcast. And it's passive. Whereas Reddit is interactive and I'm always commenting and doing things.
Or just scrolling.
Right. So, and because it's a more interactive medium, it pulls me back in. You need to kind of, like, focus more. Whereas YouTube, you can kind of throw on and, like, oh, I missed a couple minutes of this, you know, hour-long video. Oh, well.
I have Reddit on my phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing. Like, I maybe downloaded it last month. And I look at it maybe every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
It helps that the Reddit app on iPhone is terrible.
I'm sure that does help.
Well, the main Reddit app by itself is terrible.
Okay.
But iPhone really only has one third-party Reddit app, and it's called Alien Blue, and it's decent. But there's, like, 100 really good Reddit apps on Android.
Oh.
Which,
you should delete all of them.
I should. Well, I only use one.
Can you block certain things on your phone? Like, could you have Carly set a password and say he can't have access?
So, I did a thing for a while where I geo-locked my phone, so I could only access, like, YouTube, Spotify, and my calls and texts during work hours or when I was in the vicinity of my work.
Oh, okay.
And that was working for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it stopped working.
Oh.
Because I figured out how to beat it, basically.
But you were setting it up to help yourself.
Yeah, no. But I also set myself up for failure.
Oh, that's good.
Frequently.
So, speaking of failure,
mm-hmm.
And going back to Lent, I know we often, at least I often, set up goals for Lent knowing that I'm probably going to fail at them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but I had a realization today about failure in Lent. So I'm curious, how does failing during Lent help you in your spiritual life? Or does it not help you? Is it like a detriment to you?
So failing, I haven't really failed at Lent in years because I set pretty realistic goals for myself. This year was the first year in a while where I was like, I genuinely could and probably will fail.
Okay.
I am surprised I made it this long without cheating at all, to be honest.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, the other day, I was this close. Like, I opened the fridge, and I was going to grab food, and Carly had left a note in the fridge that said it's not worth it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, why'd you do this to me? And I closed the fridge, and I walked away.
But the note worked.
The note worked. But yeah, so I think that coming to failure, at least from my perspective, is I don't consider it failure if you readjust and continue.
Okay, good.
A thing that I used to do when I had like Lenten goals way back in the day, like, oh, I'm not going to play video games for 40 days. Or I'm not going to drink caffeine or whatever, you know, the teenage.
Sure.
I have a Lenten goal. God's going to be happy if I stop drinking Mountain Dew. Which God is happy if you stop drinking Mountain Dew. It's a sacrifice. It's just, I think that as we come to be adults, we set deeper goals for ourselves. And, but like when I failed, it was over. Like, so I would get 5 days in, I accidentally drank a pop at like a restaurant or something.
Sure.
And then that was it.
Yep.
Lent is done. And that was the wrong way to handle failure.
Yes.
So then I went through several years in a row of not really failing because I set like the smart goals. And so I didn't really fail.
Right.
So now I had to kind of set up a new framework for myself of, if I fail, what am I going to do? Am I just going to go back to eating pizza every day? Or
I hope not.
No.
Would you just restart?
I don't know what I would do. Okay. I assumed, so like, I have backstops in place if certain things happen with my body. If my heart rate gets too low too frequently, or if my body fat, or if my muscle mass, rather, gets too low, where I said I'm going to stop fasting.
Okay.
In place of that, I intend to do like a very strict ketogenic diet instead. So that's like an example of a stop, reassess, and then continue.
Sure. So I think that's kind of the problem with Lent. So many of us set our... So I started doing the same thing where I would just come up with goals that I can't fail at.
Right.
And I think that's also a problem in Lent. Like, it's great if you can...
Yeah.
It's wonderful if you can commit to your Lenten goals. Like, it's awesome. It's part of, like, what being Catholic is and all that lovely stuff. But I think you learn a lot more through the failure. If you're actually able to take a step back and realize, like, no matter what you do during Lent or really any time, God's going to use that for the better good. Whether it's the betterment of yourself or, I mean, you have no idea how you might be affecting someone else through what you're doing or through what I'm doing. Like, is my different ways that I'm praying now, is my new forms of praying, are they being attributed to someone else? Is that helping them through God's grace? Like, I don't know. I would hope so. But, like, I have no idea. I'm not God. Thank God. I say that a lot. I've been telling to my students, I've been doing a lot more classroom visits where we're hanging out and talking. We were talking about Catholic social teaching yesterday. So naturally, we started talking about the isolationists in Japan. And then naturally we segued to social media because all of those are natural progressions.
Right.
Yeah. It made a lot more sense when I was doing my actual talk.
I'm sure it did.
And social media came up and these 11 and 12 year olds, Matt, 11 and 12 year olds are like obsessed with Snapchat.
See, that surprises me. Not that they would be obsessed with an app, but that it's Snapchat. I figured that it would be TikTok.
No, it's Snapchat.
TikTok is...
They don't care. That was like a fad.
But no, Musical.ly was a fad, I thought. I thought TikTok was the one.
I don't think they care.
All the kids at SJV are into TikTok.
But they're older.
I'll have to beep out SJV. Or I mean beep out SJV. Are we not...
You should.
I'll just leave that out.
Yeah.
All the kids
don't
at
beep it
Insert
out.
Church here are...
Yeah, I mean, it's like a very like... But whatever. Yeah. So they are very much into... Snapchat. And so I told them, I'm like, you know, next year for Lent, you guys should all give up whichever social media you're most addicted to, but especially if it's Snapchat. And they all looked at me like I was like psychotic. And I'm like, you guys.
They'll lose their streaks, Tori.
That's what I said. And they're like, and I said, you know, I have students who can't go a weekend on a retreat without losing their streaks. I have students who asked me to use my phone because I had the internet to use for Snapchat so they can get streaks.
Yep.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I had kids who were like, I was bribing them. This is going to sound weird, but every every year when we go on these weekend retreats, I always bring like a bunch of like junk food and mm-hmm. snacks. And I say, if you give me your phone for the weekend and you don't use it, I'm going to put it and hide it somewhere. You can have all this junk food and snacks, right? I'm bribing them with candy. And it usually works. Like,
oh, yeah.
All the previous years. I've been doing this for like 10 years now. Pretty much since I was in high school, I've been doing it. And this year, it didn't work. Like, all the kids were like, so are we still going to be able to get on our phone once a day to use Snapchat? I was like, no. They're like, can I get my phone to call my mom? I was like, you can use my phone.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I need to use my phone. Why? My mom doesn't know your number. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does. They have it. We promise.
No, I definitely need to use my phone. I was like, yeah, okay. For Snapchat streaks, right? That's funny.
And I just never, like, I mean, Snapchat kind of missed our generation for the most part.
Yeah.
I know, like, I have a lot of friends who use it. Like, they'll use it on, like, especially weekends and stuff and do stuff. Mm-hmm. I have some friends who are obsessed with it. Like, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
They're the same friends. But I own it on my phone. Like, it's right on my homepage. And I look at it maybe once a week. I don't respond to a single thing.
Literally, I have a group chat with Carly and my sibling-in-laws. And my sibling-in-laws.
Is that a term, sibling-in-laws?
I'm going to go with yes.
Sure, okay.
My sibling-in-laws and my sibling-in-laws' significant others.
Got it.
Right? And that's fun. Because it's literally just like the five of us, and it's all in jokes and nonsense. And like, they just got new dogs, so we're talking about that. We just got new dogs, so we're talking about that.
Right.
Whatever the
but jokes that's basically are. Like a group message.
Yeah, it's just another group message. It's just Snapchat makes it an easier medium for that type of chat. It's just very conducive to that specifically. But outside of that, I don't use Snapchat.
And you
at
don't
all.
Have streaks or anything.
No. No.
And I think if we could get more people giving up something that was worth a challenge to them. Like, for me, this Lent hasn't seemed very challenging. The praying more has. Fasting during the day, like,
right.
Like, it's not challenging. And I realized, like, I thought it would be challenging, mm-hmm. and it's not. And so that's why, like, I've been trying to do these different forms of prayer and praying more often.
Right.
Because I'm very bad, even at work, like, when I should be praying before. I pray before I go to work, mm-hmm. but if I'm not praying before I start doing like a lesson plan or something, there's a problem in that.
Right.
So like being just more like aware of that and taking a step back to say, just come Holy Spirit, like help me do my job, help me do this, like speak through me or work through me or like make this project done for me. He doesn't work that way, but it'd be great if he did. So that's what I think if we could encourage others. If you have a problem with Snapchat, you guys, we're only 18 days into Lent. Give it up. Like, start now.
Casey Neistat just did it.
Who? Excuse you?
Excuse me? You don't know Casey Neistat? Do you know Philip DeFranco? Do you know YouTubers at all?
No, not really.
This episode of Salt the Earth Podcast is brought to you by Casey Neistat and Philip DeFranco, or SXE Phil, or DeFranco Network, whatever he's going by these days.
Except not really, because again, we don't have sponsors.
Yeah, no.
But if you want to sponsor us, let us know. Like,
Casey
Neistat
is like an influencer. He does vlogs and stuff.
So I know that he's a he now.
Yeah.
Because Casey could go either way.
He's like a filmmaker out in New York City. He does really cool stuff. Philip DeFranco does like a daily news video, kind of centrist, fence-city positions.
Got
but,
it.
Like, it makes sense for what he is.
Sure.
Because like he's not really, he's just trying to present the news, right?
I know James Franco.
James Franco, the star?
Yeah.
Like the movie star? Yeah.
That's the only Franco I know. And his brother.
Dave Franco.
And his brother, Dave.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I knew James first because he was on
Casey Neistat posted a video a while ago where he was saying, I'm deleting all the social media off my phone. I'm only going to use it on desktop mode when I'm at home at night because I've realized that my screen on says I'm spending 3 hours a day on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. And then Philip DeFranco is like, I did the same thing. I've been threatening to do it forever, but Casey Neistat said he is going to do it. I'm doing it too.
Yeah, you know, that screen time thing is actually really terrifying because I'm going to pull up mine right now.
Oh, it was bad. I'll pull mine up too. Mine's terrible.
Oh, mine's actually not bad.
Did you hear that voice crack? Oh, goodness gracious.
Today I've only been on my phone for 1 hour and 47 minutes. And 37 minutes of that was social networking. And I guarantee you, I don't even remember being on social network. So that's kind of a problem to me that I don't remember doing it. The other one was health and fitness and creativity. So creativity, I was doing some photography stuff. Health and fitness, I was doing I have a new health app that I'm using. I don't remember. I remember scrolling on social network when we started doing this, but that was it.
I imagine today's probably not too bad.
Carly changed your guys' profile or her profile picture.
She did?
To a wedding photo of you guys.
Oh, that's a good picture too.
It's
like
a really good
picture. I don't even remember what the app is called. Stay Free, that's it. Oh, is it not set up on this phone? I just got a new phone.
Did you?
It's the same phone, but I broke the old one.
Oh.
And I had insurance. Thank God, Jesus.
Jesus, we love you for all things insurance. Specifically. And because you're Jesus.
Except, I would never blame Jesus for insurance because insurance is exploitative profit-seeking behavior.
That is profit speaking with an F, profit seeking. Profit with an F, not profit with a PH, because those would be different types of profits.
Ooh, yeah, it would.
The PH profits are great profits. Most of the time. Actually, not all of them were great, but most of them were really, really good.
Yes, most of the profits were good. Profit seeking behavior is bad. Not always, but typically.
Right.
If it's your primary goal. That's why I like my employer. My employer's not like a super... Like, they're not traded
on the
stock market or anything like that. They're really good to their employees. I get great insurance and stuff.
That's really good.
It's, like, as close as you can be to working for a socialized company without it being a socialized company.
Also super good. So...
Not always super good.
Well,
no. Where are all my capitalists out there?
We'll have another episode talking about capitalism, I am sure. Anything else you want to add about Lent?
Yes. I think that... I came to this realization during the episode, but in future years, I think that like something that I really struggle with is formal prayer. So things like the rosary, things like...
Oh, same.
You know, the...
Divine Mercy chaplet.
Those, yeah, chaplets.
Or like the rotary prayers.
Anything
along those lines. Our Father, Hail Mary, yeah. Glory be.
Anything along those lines. I am terrible
Have you ever done a novena?
Like, I am bored to death. I have never done a novena.
I haven't either. I was just curious.
The only structured prayer that I've done in probably the last 6 years is the consecration to Mary.
And oh, right.
Like, I've done a few rosaries at funerals.
Right. We should talk about that one day.
Really nothing. Rosaries or...
No, the consecration to Mary.
Oh, that would be good.
I'm considering doing the consecration to Mary.
Yeah.
I have started the consecration to Mary 3 times in my life, and I've never finished. So I'm very much considering doing it again, but I need to...
I would like to start to it. He probably wants to do it too, so...
I think the first time we all did it, us three tried doing it together.
It was just before Harley and I started dating.
It was. You guys, if anything you get from this podcast, find friends who you strive to be holy with.
There you go.
Because I have a great group of friends who we do that with.
Yes. That is pretty much the one thing that ties us together.
Is our faith.
We are not in agreement politically. We are not in agreement socially, even, most of the time.
Musically, not at all.
The shows that we watch are all different.
So different.
The things that we do, all of our hobbies, everyone's...
The sports we either play or watch or don't play more of. Most of us don't play sports anymore, but...
All of it. The one thing that ties us together is faith. So definitely hunt down friends that share your faith, if nothing else.
And that push you to be holy people.
It's time to introduce new people to the faith.
And we're always welcoming new friends. So if you want to be friends with us...
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Hit us up on all of our things.
Yeah, we love new people.
So yeah, there's your Lenten challenge. If you haven't gotten anything serious, if all you did was give up coffee, bring new people to the faith, or reignite old relationships with people that you had in the faith, and listen to more Salt the Earth podcasts.
Find some holy friends.
Find some holy friends. Become saints together. Saints come in twos and threes.
True.
It's very rare that there's like, well, it's not rare because there's a lot of saints, but like...
Right. They come in pairs.
Saints come in pairs, at least.
So. Follow us on all the social medias.
Follow us on all the social medias.
And on the interwebs.
At Salt the Earth
Pod.
Or Salt the Earth Podcast. Just Google Salt the Earth. I imagine if we start getting actual listeners, we'll be in the SEO.
I would hope so. But if you currently Google Salt the Earth, you will find what the old tradition was in the Middle East for salting the earth.
Oh, where they would destroy everything?
It was a curse.
Yeah.
Or it's what you did to a land after it had been cursed. We're not trying to do that.
Military tactics.
Oh, I'm speaking like biblical times too.
Yeah, but like Russia really modernized it. Really, USSR really That's modernized good. It because every time they were invaded, since Russia had several hundred miles between them and between the border and Moscow, all they would do is flee and burn everything. So that way, any invading army would have to import food hundreds of miles in order to get to the Russian army, and they would all just die in the Russian winter.
Awful.
Yeah, the Russians were brutal.
We're not doing that, friends.
No. Salt the Earth.
Pod. Follow us.
Follow us.
Review us.
Review us. Like us on Twitter.
Adios. Is that cultural appropriation?